Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary with Hannah Elise. I am your host, Hannah Elise, and I do apologize if you hear anything that's happening outside my window right now. There's always some shit going on, and it's always extremely loud for no reason. Like, what the fuck are they doing? It's just always something. I live in New York City. I apologize if you can hear anything. Anywho, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. I'm currently recording this. It just turned afternoon. It is a very overcast Friday. It has been, I swear to God, I've seen the sun one time in New York City in the past 2 weeks, and that was on Monday of this week. And I thought that when I saw the sun on Monday, that meant it was going to be coming back. I was so wrong. Today's Friday. Haven't seen it since. I feel like I'm waking up every day and it's like the Groundhog Day movie where you wake up and it's you're just living the same day over and over again. That is how this weather makes me feel. But I'm trying to make my setup as cozy as possible. I have my lights on. I'm sitting here wrapped up in my Barefoot Dreams blanket that I got for Christmas, which, by the way, was one of the greatest gifts I think I've ever received. I'm not even gonna lie. It is so worth the hype. And I have my Starbucks. I ran to Starbucks this morning because I ran some other errands and I decided Starbucks was my treat for running my errands. I find every excuse to treat myself and I see nothing wrong with that. What is life if not enjoyable? Let's go over what I'm drinking today. I ordered a venti iced brown sugar oat milk espresso, and I add 2 pumps of cinnamon dolce syrup to this. If you're not a Starbucks person or you don't like coffee, sorry, this is irrelevant for you, but I'll keep it short. This is my favorite drink to order from Starbucks right now. It is so good, so definitely try it the next time you go if you feel like it, but that is what I am sipping on at the moment. Here's some ASMR. I feel like every time I start a podcast, it takes me a second till I get into the groove of talking. Doing a podcast is super interesting because I'm paying more attention to the way my voice is sounding and just like my mouth than I think I've ever paid attention to it before. You know what I mean? I'm still new at this, but I love recording podcasts. So I'm very, very excited to sit down and record today and just have some time to talk to you. For today's episode, I wanted to dive deeper into something that I experience in my personal life every single day. Every single day I deal with this and I want to talk about it. So today I want to talk about productive procrastination and the phenomenon that is productive procrastination. I don't really know if it would be considered a phenomenon. I just kind of added that for dramatic effect, but this topic is so prevalent to me. And I wrote up a little survey actually yesterday just on Google Forms, and I shared it on the podcast Instagram, which, by the way, if you didn't know, there I have an Instagram account specifically for this podcast. It is Digital Diary Pod, so definitely go follow that if you want to be involved in any future surveys or whatever that I put out, or even just little question stickers, or just in general. I'm trying to make the podcast Instagram good and share little introspective things. I've been really enjoying getting to start a whole new Instagram like from scratch and getting to decide the voice of it and all of that. So the Instagram at name will be down in the show notes if you want to go follow it. But I did make a little survey and I put it out on the Instagram. So I'm going to be talking about the responses that I got from that. Anyway, so I have a lot to say. And judging by the responses that I got from the survey that I put out, a lot of my listeners, or at least the majority of the ones that were surveyed, also experience productive procrastination. So I thought that this would be something really good to talk about. And also, I just recently learned that this thing had a name. I have been doing this in my life not knowing that it was called something. And then I heard somebody say the term productive procrastination, and I was like, oh my God. It was like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, that is it. That is exactly what it is. And then, you know, I did more reading up on it and more research. And turns out it is an actual whole thing that a lot of people experience. So let's get into it. First off, if you have never heard of productive procrastination, I wanted to give you a definition of it. This one I found in an article from Psychology Today written by Sharon Saline. They said that the term productive procrastination was actually first used by Piers Steele in his book, The Procrastination Equation, How to Stop Putting Things Off and Start Getting Stuff Done. I just thought that was an interesting tidbit to throw in maybe a book that you could check out if you resonate with this topic. I'll put that information in the show notes as well. Me using the word show notes or the term show notes just makes me feel so official as a podcaster. I said this before, but I listen to a lot of podcasts and they reference that. So I'm like, podcast lingo. Anyway, I definitely want to order this book after reading this. So I'm putting it on my list. I wanted to share it for anyone else. So that's where this term was first coined. Onto the definition, quote, productive procrastination is a delay tactic that feels good because you are getting other things done while avoiding the seemingly more unpleasant tasks. You keep yourself busy with something else and stay away from the big thing that's really looming over your head. You still do things that need to be accomplished, but what you work on is less urgent and important than the tasks that you push aside. This makes you feel temporarily better because you feel like you're making progress, and you are. But this short-term relief increases your long-term stress, end quote. Now that we have that, why does this happen? Another source that I found, I did a lot of research on this because I, A, enjoy research, like I said. B, I know that I experience this in my own life, but it's sometimes hard for me to put things into words that make sense out of feelings or thoughts that are just in my head. I don't know. They feel very jumbled and it's hard for me to articulate them sometimes. So I kind of just was looking for other people to articulate them for me. But don't worry, I will be obviously relating all of this to myself because I am a narcissist and this is my podcast. Oh, also, I am going to be including all of these articles and sources that I'm referencing again down in the show notes. Why does this happen? One explanation offered was for a New York Times article by author Charlotte Lieberman, and she said, quote, it is a way of coping with challenging emotions and negative moods induced by certain tasks. From that same article, they cited Dr. Pyschyl. He's a professor of psychology and member of the procrastination research group at Carleton University in Ottawa. I didn't even know that was a thing. It's very interesting. But he said, quote, procrastination is an emotion regulation problem, not a time management problem. Another thing to note is that productive procrastination, or just procrastination in general, is common in people with ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I am not here to diagnose you with ADHD. I am not a medical professional. This is just something that popped up a lot in my research and my reading, so I thought it was worthwhile to mention and shouldn't go unsaid that this is something that people with ADHD may or may not experience. Again, if you do have ADHD, I don't know your personal struggle, but I wanted to throw this in here because it felt important to mention. And this is me popping in a few days later because I thought of something else that I wanted to mention. I feel like productive procrastination is something that can also happen when you're experiencing burnout with the original task that you're completing. Burnout is a whole other topic of conversation that I probably could make a whole other episode on. If I'm feeling burnt out with editing, I'm going to want to do it less, which then obviously makes me want to avoid it and fill that void with doing other things. Same thing goes with school. If I'm feeling burnt out from school, I might put off schoolwork. And I did this when I was in college. I put off schoolwork and was just doing other random shit that wasn't the schoolwork that I needed to do that had the deadline. So burnout is a huge factor, I think. I don't know how I forgot to mention it when I was recording this originally, but I just wanted to pop in and say that as well. So essentially, to sum all of these things up, what productive procrastination boils down to is a delay tactic. So in order to distract yourself and delay having to do the main task that you need to do, maybe it's just overwhelming, or maybe you're nervous about it, or maybe, I don't know, you have just some kind of negative emotion around this task that you need to do for whatever reason. You're delaying doing that task by doing other tasks that are still things that need to be done. They're still good things that you need to do, and they are quote unquote productive things. They're just not the productive thing that you need to be doing, but the productive thing that you need to be doing is not something that you want to do. That was a lot. I'm sorry. And that's literally why I just said that I was doing research on this, because when I try to explain it, it sounds like that. And you're like, what the fuck are you saying? Anyway, so to break down the term productive procrastination, there are positive impacts and negative impacts of doing this. The positive impacts obviously correlate with the productive part of the term, because productivity, I mean, in a general sense, is a positive thing because you're getting things done. So one of the biggest pros, if you will, to productive procrastination is that you are getting things done. You're checking things off of a to-do list. There are still tasks that you feel good about getting done. So that is a good thing. Another pro of this is that you may feel more motivated to get these little tasks done that you may or may not have been putting off prior to this. So when you're faced with a task that's bigger and you maybe don't want to do it, that might actually, in a weird way, motivate you to tackle the other little tasks that you have been putting off, like, I don't know, washing the dishes or whatever it is that you're distracting yourself with. Maybe those are things you've been putting off. So then by completing them, you're still feeling good. You're still feeling like that's a win, like a win is a win. I'm sure there are more positive impacts, but those are the two most glaringly obvious ones to me. So then there's the negative impacts, which procrastination is really, I'm trying to think of a situation where procrastination is a positive thing, but I can't think of one right now. So therefore, I'm just going to say that procrastination has a negative connotation because it's not a good thing. You don't want to do it. We all do it, but you don't want to do it. On the cons list of productive procrastination, it sabotages your productivity and overall success, which is interesting because it's a bit of a paradox. The term itself calls itself productive because in a way it is, but it's not productive for the things that you need to do. In being productive, you're actually sabotaging your productivity at the same time in the same breath, which is an interesting way to think about it. But it is true. And then another con, I said this a little bit already, but you're delaying the inevitable. And in turn, you're making the larger and more important task at hand even harder to do because you're shortening the length of time that you have to do it, which then causes more stress around it. It's literally a downward spiral of stress. The stress of the main task causes you to want to focus on something else so you don't have to face the main task. So then you start doing a bunch of other random, still relevant, but less urgent shit so that you don't have to do the main task. But then, as you're avoiding the main task with other things, the stress surrounding the main task keeps building and keeps snowballing because you're still not doing it. Then, when you go back to actually address the main task, it seems even harder than it even was in the first place, which if you're procrastinating something, that means your brain, at least in some way, is categorizing that task as difficult and you don't want to do it right now because it's like too much thought or effort or time or whatever. Going through this whole cycle, when you go back to actually address that main task that you've been putting off in the first place, it seems even harder than it was. And it feels good to delay it because you don't have to think about it. Then you go back to it and you're like, oh, fuck, I still have to do this. Like, this sucks. And it's a downward spiral and it snowballs. And the negativity around the main task snowballs as you are going through this cycle, if you will, of productive procrastination. As I said at the top of the episode, I do this all the time. Every single day, honestly. I don't remember a time when I didn't do this. I honestly, yes, I do. I lied. I, for some reason, feel like I was extremely productive in a good way, categorized what tasks I needed to do, broke them up accordingly, broke them into smaller bite-sized portions and scheduled them throughout the week. I was fully on top of my shit my freshman and sophomore years in college. This is when I went to Temple. I lived away from home. I don't know why. I really don't. I don't remember even making it like a conscious effort. It was just something that I was doing naturally and I was really good at. But then I ended up transferring after my sophomore year. I talked about this in the first episode. I transferred to a different school after my sophomore year because I was not loving where I was at. I hated it. So I transferred and then I was trying to use the same methodologies that I used my first 2 years when I was really, really productive. I was trying to use those when I went to a different school, and then COVID hit. COVID hit my spring semester of my junior year of college, so my second semester at my new school. We were online the rest of the semester. The following semester, I believe we were hybrid, because that was my senior year. So we had some days we were online, and some days, like, part of the class was able to go in person. just so that we didn't have like the full capacity of the room filled up. I honestly blame COVID. Well, I blame COVID for a lot of things, but I blame COVID for the downfall of my productivity. When COVID happened, I didn't do shit. Like, I didn't learn pretty much anything in school. I didn't care to even keep my planner going. I had no motivation to do anything. And I know I'm not the only one, but there was a time in recent memory that I know that I was productive, and it wasn't in a productive procrastination way. It was just simply productivity. But since COVID, that was thrown out the window, put on a plane, flown to the other side of the world, but crashed and sunk in the middle of the ocean, pretty much. For the last couple years, I mean, especially since COVID, and also especially since I graduated, and the only person that I am accountable to anymore is myself, I have experienced productive procrastination almost every single day of my life. I wrote down a few examples of things that I do. So let's go through them, okay? The first one that is definitely the most prevalent is I know I need to edit and submit a video, so I clean my whole apartment instead. I also love to make excuses to myself about these things. So one really valid excuse that I use all the time when I do this specific one is if my workspace or just my living space in general is not tidy and organized, I can't focus on fuck all. Even take me sitting at my desk right now. I'm looking around it and I do have clutter on it, but it's not enough to the point where it makes me not want to even sit here at all. But there are so many times where I will have so much clutter on my desk that I don't even want to sit at it and do work because it's unmotivating. So that's kind of how I justify this one to myself. And sometimes it is valid, but also there's a time and a place. Like, I need to be better at managing these things so that I make sure that I have a tidy enough space before I have to sit down and edit a video. That's something that I need to change in myself. Like, I need to shift my mindset on that so that I don't have that, because that's definitely not helping. But while I'm cleaning the apartment, all I'm thinking about is the fact that I have this other task that I need to do that I'm not doing. And I think about and start feeling really guilty about the fact that I'm spending my time not doing that, because I know that once I sit down to do it later, I'll have less time to do it. I still won't want to do it, but now I'll have even less time and it'll stress me out even more. So in order to avoid that stress and in an effort to delay thinking about it, I clean my whole apartment. Like, I guess it's better than sitting on my phone and scrolling through TikTok for 4 hours, which I also do sometimes, but it's still not what I need to be doing. Another example is I have emails to answer, but instead I start researching a topic so in depth that I could write a dissertation on it. This happens more often than I would care to admit, not just with the scenario of having emails to answer or anything, but I will procrastinate doing something by falling down a rabbit hole, really, of this other topic that has nothing to do with what I need to be doing. And I will research it so heavily and so in depth that I could fully write like a 20-page paper on it for no reason. But I enjoy researching, and researching to me is something that I think is productive, and I'm learning something. But again, time and a place, that's not what I need to be doing right now. It just makes me feel better than the thing that I do need to do. And it's interesting, I wrote this example yesterday, and then I just went through the survey responses earlier today, and I was writing down the data and the different things that people said that stood out to me. And something that stood out to me is that a lot of other people tend to productively procrastinate when they have to do some type of communicating, whether it's emails or you have to call somebody or you have to talk to somebody about something that's uncomfortable. Like, people tend to, at least from the survey responses, productively procrastinate communication as well. Anyway, okay. And then the last thing, these are all just like super general. If I need to wash the dishes or clean the kitchen, which is one of my least favorite things to do for some reason, I hate it. I know I have to do it and I still do it, but it grosses me out and I hate it. And I will delay it by cleaning everything else but the kitchen. This happens a lot at night. I like to wash any dishes that have accumulated throughout the day at night so that I can wake up the next morning to a clean kitchen. That is such a beautiful thing. I love it. And I know that doing that will make me feel good, but it's the act of washing the dishes, getting myself motivated to do that. How the fuck does one motivate themselves to wash the dishes? My mindset around it is so negative for honestly no reason. Like, that's very dramatic of me. My mind just assigns negative emotions to washing the dishes. And that is something that I need to change within myself and shift my own mindset. But that's not the point of this episode. That's just the mindset that I currently have. I know I need to change it. I tend to productively procrastinate doing that. And I will clean everything else. Like, I will clean the bathroom. I'll scrub the toilet. I'll scrub the shower. I will do like 7 loads of laundry before I will make myself wash the dishes. All right, now I want to get into the survey results. The first thing I did was I provided a definition of productive procrastination just in case people didn't exactly know like what that meant right off the bat. I copied and pasted the one that I read to you guys earlier from Psychology Today. First, just some general info. I received 1,662 responses to my survey, which that's a lot. If you're listening to this and you responded and you took the time to do that, thank you so much. It was very helpful. The first question that I asked was, have you experienced productive procrastination after reading the above definition? Do you feel that this is something that you have experienced in your life? 98.7% of respondents said yes. And I put in parentheses with the response yes, even if only once. So 98.7% of respondents marked yes. This is something that a lot of people are experiencing. Almost everybody. So if you're listening to this right now and you maybe have never been able to put like a term to this feeling or this thing that you do, and you maybe feel like you're alone or the only one that does it, take this as hard evidence that you are very much not alone. This is a very, very widely experienced thing. In addition to that, only 3 people out of the 1,662 said no. Only 3. I found that so interesting. The overwhelming response of yes, that just kind of like is validating to see that in numbers. So then the second question I asked, in which situations do you feel like you experience productive procrastination? And I said to check all that apply. So I put school, that was one category, work was another category, and then home was another category, including like chores, cleaning around the house, hygiene, taking care of yourself, stuff like that. The results for that, school came in at the huge majority of 94.7%. And again, this is kind of confusing because I did hit check all that apply, but of the respondents, 94.7% said school, 79.7% said home, and 42.2% said work. Some of those people, I'm assuming, checked more than just one. I can't see all of that in depth information in Google Forms. Yeah, so school is the overwhelming winner of this one. Work was the lowest, but also my demographic is 18 to 24, so may not be in like full career mode yet at that stage of life. I don't really know. And then I put an other box, so you could click that and then write in which situations are most prevalent in your life personally. And this is where I referenced this earlier. A lot of people said things along the lines of communication. So I just lumped all of their responses into the general overarching theme of communication. A lot of people productively procrastinate having to communicate in some way. So here are some of the examples that I read. In relationships, having difficult conversations with a partner or just really anyone, people procrastinate those, obviously because they are not fun. Also, uncomfortable conversations, again, not fun, not something that you're like excited to do. Another thing people said was making appointments. I do this so hard. Oh my God. I will know that I need to call the doctor and make an appointment. And instead of that, I will go through every email I've ever received, categorize it, make a label for it, organize it, instead of just calling the doctor and making an appointment, which will probably take 2 minutes tops. I don't know why I hate talking on the phone so much. I hate it. I dread it. People said that. And then along the same lines as that, important phone calls. I guess a lot of other people hate talking on the phone. I feel validated. Another category that I saw come up a ton was like running errands, having to leave the house to run errands, or just, I call it life administrative tasks. Anything that you need to do in life, I guess that also could just be an errand, making a return, or having to file some document or paperwork. I don't know. Errands and life administrative tasks are another thing that people will do anything else than do those. And then a few people said everything. I also get that because I feel that way too sometimes. Question 3 was, how does productive procrastination make you feel? So I gave a scale of 1, meaning really bad, to 5, meaning really good. In order, the majority voted for 3, which was like neutral, like not really bad, but not really good, just kind of like, 45.1% said that. The next highest, 34.2% said 2, which was bad. 4, which is good, making you feel good, 11.5% said. This also makes sense because, like I said earlier, there are pros to productive procrastination. That's the productive part. You're getting stuff done, which does make you feel good in a way. Like the negativity and the positivity can kind of even itself out, but more people answered 2 than 4. So more people answered bad than good. Question 4, I said, if you could describe how you feel about productive procrastination in only 1 word, what would it be? I got over 1,600 responses. So what I did that I thought would be fun was I copied all of the words from all the responses and I put them into one of those like word cloud generators and used that to pick out the ones that were the most frequent responses that showed up. So in order of most frequently said, here are the words that people use to describe this. We have frustrated, stress, annoyed, anxiety or anxious, guilty or guilt, avoid, conflicted, distracted, overwhelmed, disappointed, productive, and exhausted. There were obviously way more words than that, but those are the ones that showed up the most. Frustrated being the number 1 makes so much sense. It's like a double-edged sword and a conflict within yourself. And then the 5th and final question, I asked just any additional information if you wanted to share about your experience with productive procrastination. Somebody said, it's like I'm doing things, but at the same time, I should be doing this other thing. But like, I'm still doing things. It's just, and then a bunch of letters. Like, it's just a, yeah. The next person said, it feels like an escape tactic from challenging tasks or tasks that require more effort and change. Another person said, I will gladly clean anyone else's home, but my own, I'll do it tomorrow. That is so true. Like, if I had to do the thing that I am putting off for myself, for somebody else, I would do it so much easier. Somebody said, it does feel good at the moment of accomplishment, which is very true. But afterwards, when you kind of realize you still have to do the bigger thing, I feel guilty about spending time on the less important tasks. I too feel the guilt. I feel guilt and almost shame. I mean, I feel like shame is a really loaded word, but I mean, maybe that applies here. I feel ashamed of myself for putting it off because I know that it needs to be done. I know better. I knew better the whole time. And I still just ignored it. So I feel guilty for ignoring what I knew, if that makes sense. Another person said, it's satisfying to me, but I know deep down it's just another distraction tactic. I feel like that's a good one to end on because that really does encapsulate the entire point of this and really the entire meaning behind the term productive procrastination. Again, thank you so much to everybody who responded to the survey. That was actually so interesting to go through and read the responses. There were obviously so many more typed out responses that I couldn't share all of them because I'd be here for a really long time. But I really appreciate everyone who took time to fill that out. It really helped me. And it's just like validating to see things in numerical, like quantifiable data. The last thing that I wanted to talk about for today's episode is some ways to combat or help productive procrastination. I will admit that I did have to Google this because when I'm thinking of things that I do to help it, I am coming up pretty blank. I struggle with this so hard that it feels impossible to break out of sometimes. I know that I'm going through the cycle. I'm a visual learner, okay? So I visualize myself going down the downward spiral. I'm like on autopilot. Being productive while procrastinating. I feel like I'm on autopilot and I can't shake myself to like wake up and like realize that I need to snap out of it and go and sit and make myself do the thing I need to do. It's definitely a self-discipline issue as well, because I don't take myself seriously. I don't give a fuck when I say that I need to do things to myself. Like, if I'm the only person that I'm being held accountable to, I'm like, okay, like, it's not that serious then. But it is. It really is that serious. And that's, I don't know how to work through that with myself. When I talk out loud and do these podcasts, I'm like, I fucking should see a therapist. It's actually on my 2023 goals list to start therapy. Dude, when I start therapy, no one's gonna be able to tell me shit. It's over. It's over for y'all when I start therapy. But right now I'm just doing a combination of winging it and Google. And that is the best that I can do. So I hope that this is at least helpful a little bit. From that same Psychology Today article that I referenced earlier, author Sharon Saline wrote, quote, "Reducing productive procrastination relies on self-regulation and the ability to prioritize. You have to do a brain dump, identify what's critical to do right now, like emergencies, things with sooner due dates, etc., and then sort out everything else," end quote. I have said that I'm a visual learner so many times, but this is one of those things that when I read brain dump, for me, that means I have to write something down on a piece of paper. Like, getting all of your thoughts that are in your head out onto paper honestly is really helpful. And I know that people say that all the time with, like, journaling as an example. Just getting all of your thoughts out onto paper can help you to sort them out and pick out themes and work through them. And it's really the same concept here. If you have, and I've done this before as well, and it really does help. If you have a lot of things going on in your brain that you know you need to do, taking out a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and just writing down every single thing in your mind onto paper doesn't even have to be in a list form. It can just be all over the place. It can be a jumbled mess on paper, but just getting them all out onto a piece of paper, then you can take another piece of paper, go through everything and write them in a more organized way. You can, if you want to get crazy, you can get like colored pens, you can get highlighters, you can make a system. I'm a big color coding girly. I love doing things like that so that I can visualize what things mean and put them into categories and stuff. It really seems to help me personally. Like, I'll assign a color to things that are pressing, like the things that I need to do first. That's usually red for me on my calendar. All of my due dates and things are highlighted in red. I would take my red highlighter and I would highlight all of the things that I need to do first so that I can look at them. And I know the correlation between red and urgent. Just looking at the list, I'm like, okay, these are my first tasks. Then the tasks that are maybe medium urgency, like I should only be doing those once the first ones are done, maybe I will highlight those in, let's just say green, for example. So I'll take my green highlighter and I will highlight all of those ones. And then the tasks that I could really just do whenever, they're not pressing, they're just things that I can do when I have some extra time, maybe I'll highlight those ones in yellow. Anyway, the point is just assigning a color to each category and be able to make that correlation immediately when you look at the colors and set your schedule and organize your time accordingly. It is really helpful if you can get yourself to stick to it. That's the hardest part. Like, in theory, I know that this is something that helps me a lot, but if I'm being completely honest, I'll do it and then I'll be like, oh, I got my shit together. But then I'll fall off. Warning that there is a really loud ass siren at this part. I'm really sorry. I didn't know that this was going on because I record with headphones on and I didn't realize how loud it was. Honestly, the whole episode, there's just been like so many noises. Again, I am really sorry. I'm gonna change my filming location for the next episode and going forward, because clearly where I'm sitting and recording right now is not working because the city sounds are too much. But yeah, just be warned. It's really annoying, but it's only like 5 to 7 seconds, so continue. In that sense, it's really just about holding yourself to what you wrote down, and it comes back to self-discipline. The second tip that I wrote down, which I kind of also just covered in the first one, is to do the biggest things first. All the tasks that I highlighted in red, I would make a third list. It's a process. Okay, trust the process. I would make a third list, write down all those things that I highlighted in red first. Those are at the very top of the list. Highlight them in red again. Then write all the green tasks after that. Highlight all those in green. And then after those ones, write all the yellow tasks and highlight them again, so that it's not just a big jumbled list where you have a red highlight every couple lines and then they're all like kind of thrown in together. They're categorized by their colors and therefore their importance. All the reds, all the greens, all the yellows in that order, chunked, no, you know, intertwining the colors, none of that, just clear and concise. If you're also a visual learner, take another piece of paper or a post-it note or just something to cover the rest of the list so that it's out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind is a real thing, by the way, but that could help too. Maybe I'll try that. Only let the red highlighted items show. While you're working on those red tasks, the rest of the colors do not exist. They cannot exist in your mind because our minds can really only focus all of our energy on one thing at a time, no matter how superhuman we think we are or how great at multitasking we think we are. We can only focus heavily on one thing at a time. The third tip that I have is to break the big tasks up into smaller chunks by doing a little bit every day. This is what I did in college. It worked like a charm. I was always ahead. Interjecting again, which I hope this is the last time, but God only knows, to tell you and apologize for there being a very fucking loud whistling noise in the next segment, clip, whatever, section. I literally almost just cut the whole thing out because it was annoying me so much, but I wanted to keep it in because I think I said things that I want to be included because I feel like they're important with the point I was making. Anyway, so the whistling noise is my radiator in my 125-year-old New York City apartment. It just does that. It just makes that noise. I'm so sorry. It's really loud and it's really annoying, and I thought that my microphone would not pick that up, but it did, of course. So hopefully moving the location next time to a different part of my apartment will help, but also the whistling happens all the time in the winter when the heat is on. So I am so sorry. Not only are you breaking it up into smaller chunks, you're writing down concretely into your schedule time to do each of the benchmarks in the days before it's due. By adopting or at least trying to do this method, it lessens the burden each day. And then by the time it's due, there isn't a burden because you've already done it and you will thank yourself. The good thing is that all things are possible. Even if something is hard or seems hard, it is possible. You just have to put the work in and really try every day to turn it around, whatever it is. Most things in life are a mindset thing because life is 10% what happens to you or what is happening and 90% how you react to it. The reason I even want to procrastinate by doing other productive things in the first place is because my mindset around the main task at hand is negative. That's for me personally. If you have ADHD, that's a legitimate medical diagnosis and a whole other issue that you really are not in control of. This is just speaking for myself, but I know that that is why I do it, because I have negative feelings associated with the main task, and it's up to me to change that, because that for me all goes back to my mindset on it. My mindset is the root cause. Everything else, all the other tactics that I could put into place to try and help myself with productive procrastination and help to not do it, those can definitely help. But for me personally, that's kind of like a band-aid almost. Unless I address the main root cause, which is my mindset and the emotions that I have surrounding the task that I'm procrastinating. If I can change the way that I view that task to something that isn't so negative that I feel like I need to spend hours doing other irrelevant shit just to delay having to think about it, if I can change my mindset on that, it's gonna change the rest of it. Everything else will shift when you shift your mindset. Changing your mindset is a huge undertaking, and it doesn't happen overnight. And I talked about this in the last episode. I talked about it in the first episode. I'll probably talk about it in every single episode, because so many things in life and so many of the topics that I have brainstormed for this podcast really at the end of the day go directly back to your mindset on them. Because again, 90% of life is how you respond. 90% of life is your mindset on things. 10% is what happens to you. The good news is that I'm in control of my mindset. The bad news is that I'm in control of my mindset because that means that I have to do something about it. Nobody else is going to do it for me. Whenever I start talking about something like this, I want to point out that I'm not saying that people with mental illnesses can just change their mindset and their mental illnesses will go away. That doesn't count. I'm sorry. I have anxiety. I've had diagnosed anxiety since I was 16. I've been medicated for anxiety since I was 16. And I've also been diagnosed with OCD, which is one of the hardest things that I have to deal with in my life every single day. And it's truly debilitating. I could make a whole episode on that as well. It's horrible. But it's not that simple for those things. It's not as simple as changing your mindset. I have a chemical imbalance in my brain. Just, I want to say that I'm not saying every single thing in life, you can just change your mindset and everything will be great. There are some things that it is incredibly difficult and sometimes it feels impossible and sometimes it might even be impossible because you have a legitimate chemical imbalance in your brain. For a lot of other things, it does go back to your mindset and you are in control of how you respond to it. You really are in control of how you respond to everything, but the causes and sources of some of those things do become more complicated. Nothing is cut and dry. There's nuance to everything. Nothing is ever black and white. I just wanted to say that because I know that, trust me, I know I can't just change my mindset on my intrusive thoughts that I have because of my OCD. Bitch, if I could, I would have done it already and I wouldn't have fucking OCD. So anyway, your mind is very powerful and your mindset is one of the most powerful tools that you have. And it really is about what you choose to do with it that makes the difference. You can choose to just let everything overtake you completely and you may even feel powerless against them, which is valid, but you don't have to be powerless against them just because you feel it. It's almost like a fake it till you make it thing. You have to train your mind to just see things differently. You have to reframe your mindset, and that is really the root of it all. You can do other things that are gonna help you in the moment, like turning your phone off for 10 minutes a day. Don't get me wrong, those things do help, but if you don't address the main issue, then those things can only help for so long, if that makes sense. And I don't want to say that to be discouraging to people. As I said, those things do help. There's usually a larger cause that needs to be addressed in order to really move forward and honestly to make those other things that you're doing even more effective. It's almost like there's a limit to their effectiveness. And then that barrier is the root cause, the root problem. If you can tackle that, then that barrier goes away and then the limit does not exist. To quote Katie Herron, for the effectiveness of the tactics that you're employing in your daily life. That was a lot. I really hope that when I listen to this back, I won't feel like I was just talking in circles for the entire time. Productive procrastination is one of those topics that there's so much to it and there's so many layers and it's really difficult sometimes to put your thoughts into words, especially when all my thoughts I kind of see as visuals. So not only to capture those thoughts, but to turn the visual thoughts into words and then say them is difficult. That is my take on productive procrastination, what it is, why it might happen, and just some ways to try to combat it, to try and help yourself and help it to not overtake your life so much. I mean, I'm really just talking about myself because it is so debilitating to me when I'm trying to get things done. It does feel impossible sometimes to break myself out of that cycle and out of that habit. It's up to me to break that cycle. Nobody else is going to do it for me. And in order to do that, I have to change my mindset. I have to be more self-disciplined and I have to take myself more seriously so that when I am telling myself what to do, when I'm needing to be accountable to myself, I will actually take it seriously. All right, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for listening to episode 3 of Digital Diary with Hannah Elise. Again, as I said, the podcast Instagram is going to be down in the show notes if you guys want to go and follow that. Check it out, whatever. I will be posting all podcast related things on there and then also any interactive elements like the survey or question stickers or polls or anything else that I would like your guys' feedback on will be down there. Also, feel free to DM me on there and let me know of any future podcast topics that you would like me to talk about. I'm always open to suggestions and ideas to add to my ever-growing brainstorm list of podcast episode topics. So Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you have an amazing, wonderful rest of your day. I appreciate you so much, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.